Father, this morning we just choose, God, to pour out our praise on you. God, we lavish our praise on you. God, we thank you for the breath that you give us, God, so that we can give it back in worship to you. Father, we pray that you're glorified and honored as we sing to you this morning. Be glorified as we hear your word. Speak to our hearts this morning, Lord. We love you and we give this service to you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right. Kyle and Amy Y got back from Cambodia Saturday morning, and Kyle is going to come share for a few minutes. Sister, good to see you.
Good to see you. Good morning, church. I just want to say thank you, Jesus Christ, so much for your pastor, and thank you for all the deacons, elders, and the congregation. I just want to say thank you for all you've done. We just got back Saturday, and my wife couldn't be able to make it today. She almost ready, but something wrong with her stomach. She had to go back inside. So, well, first of all, I would like to say thank you all, and thank God for everything that y'all have done, y'all. Everyone, I'm not preaching, but I'm just holding my Bible. I just want to say thank you again for the work of God in Cambodia, that you support and pray. We see a lot of a miracle happening in the lives of Cambodia. God changed life and God saves a lot of Cambodia's life. It's just because of you. You love God. And you share with others, and you also give those people hope because of the grace of Christ, because of the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what happened in Cambodia. As you all know, your pastor came back with other brothers, Steve, Kevin, and Mark. I'm sorry. As they traveled back home last week, I mean, all those pastors, they say, Kyle, can I come back and visit you? I say, man, I don't have enough time. I look at my time, I just don't have enough time. Lee only gave me 5 minutes anyway. They say they would like to come back. They want to share what God has done through their conference. And I thought, man, we've been doing this conference for 2-3 times already, 5 times already. They say they didn't get it. I say, something wrong with the way I translate to you? They say, no, it's not about the translation. But what happened last two weeks, I mean, those guys are on fire. They are on fire for Christ. This is the power the Lord Jesus Christ has done through that conference. I mean, they got it. They clicked. Somewhere, somehow, the Holy Spirit of God just empowered them and enriched them. I mean, they went back the next day and they tell about the gospel to other people, and people came to know Christ. And I got a chance to meet those people. I got 2 more minutes. But anyway, I just want to, I didn't write anything down until today back there. I just want to say that thank you guys for loving God. And thank you for sharing God with others. And I also want to say thank you for sharing Christ in Cambodia. Without you guys, without everybody here, you know, this ministry wouldn't be happening. And Amy and I would like to say thank you for your support, for giving us another opportunity to stay 1 week just to go out and share and to visit your brothers, your sister in Christ in Cambodia, and they send the greeting, and they're sending warm love from each one of those pastors and the congregation. They wish they would be here to tell you face to face that they want to say thank you. Thank you so very much for everything that you have done over there in Cambodia. Because of you, that's why the Word of God start spreading all over the country. So I would like to say thank you again. God is the way and the truth and the life. No other God. I can see the power of God really changed life over there. And I thank God for our brother there last week, pray for the man that changed on the bed. He got demonized, or he got demon possessed. And the next day we called back, and he said he feel better. That's the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. And last July, Dennis and the groups pray for this woman, this young girl, for demon possessed. And I got a chance to meet her last week. She completely healed by the blood of Jesus Christ. I mean, I saw her, I talked to her, I stand with her. Yeah, give the Lord praise and glory. We honor him, you know, give him praise. I just want to say thank you. We believe in the power of prayer. I believe God can change. God can do anything. If we sincerely believe in our heart, God can do anything. He healed that woman. I got a chance to see her last week. I said, man, that's insane. She completely healed. That's the power of God. Nobody can do it. No Muslim, no Buddha, no Hindu. Only God, Jesus Christ. He can do all that thing. I just want to say thank you again, Pastor. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Deacon, Elder. And thank you, all the congregation, for giving me an opportunity, a chance to be a part of small of God's work in Cambodia. I appreciate it so very much. May God bless y'all.
Matthew chapter 25. Frank said that since God owns everything, you can make risk, and if it doesn't work out, you move money from one of God's pockets to another. And he mentioned the parable of the talents, Matthew 25. Every parable's got one main theme. And the theme of this parable is, don't waste your opportunities. Be sure that you capitalize on the time that you have. This is the day of salvation. This is the opportunity to serve. This is the opportunity that God has given us. He has given us one life. We need to make the most of the life that he's given us. And Jesus says in verse 14, again, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants and entrusted his money to them while he was gone. He gave 5 bags of silver. He gave 5 talents. A talent is a unit of measurement, 75 pounds. So in the New Living Translation, it uses silver as the ingredient. But he gave one man 5 bags of silver, to one 2 bags of silver, and to another 1 bag of silver, dividing it in proportion to their abilities. He then left on his trip. So we got a 5-talent guy, a 2-talent guy, and a 1-talent guy. Jesus said that he divided it in accordance with their abilities. And so he looked in, the master looked into their life. He knew these men, and he knew that this guy was a 5-talent guy, this guy was a 2-talent guy, and this guy was a 1-talent guy. In verse 16, it says, the servant who received the 5 bags of silver began to invest the money and earned 5 more. The servant with 2 bags of silver also went to work and earned 2 more. But the servant who received the 1 bag of silver dug a hole in the ground and hid the master's money. When they had something of great value to them, they would oftentimes dig a hole and hide the money box, the treasure box, whatever it is, the gold, the silver, whatever the valuable thing was, they would hide it in the ground. And so the 1-talent guy, he doesn't move forward in faith. He doesn't risk. He doesn't take inventory about what God has given him. And he's concerned about it, and he digs a hole and he buries it. The guy with 5 talents, he invests and receives 5 more. The guy with 2 talents, he invests, he gives, he takes inventory of what the master has given him, and he makes 2 more. So the 5-talent guy and the 2-talent guy don't bury their talent. Verse 19, after a long time, their master returned from his trip and called them to give an account of how they had used his money. The servant to whom he had entrusted the 5 bags of silver came forward with 5 more and said, Master, you gave me 5 bags of silver to invest, and I've earned 5 more. The master was full of praise. Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. And so there is blessing. There is blessing with the faithfulness. When someone is faithful with what God has given us, there is blessing, and God adds to the responsibilities. More is given. And then the master says, let's celebrate together. Party. Let's enjoy what has happened. The servant who had received the 2 bags of silver came forward and said, Master, you gave me 2 bags of silver to invest, and I have earned 2 more. The master said, well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Same thing as the 5 guy. The 2 guy. The 2 guy is now stepped up to maybe a 5 guy. The 5 guy has now stepped up to maybe a 10 guy, maybe a 20 guy. Maybe the 5 guy is now a 15 guy. They have stepped up in their responsibility. God gives them more to invest. He gives them more to serve with. He adds to it. And again, with the 2 guy, he says, let's celebrate together. Then the servant with the 1 bag of silver came and said, Master, I knew you were a harsh man. Whew. Harvesting crops you didn't plant and gathering crops you didn't cultivate. You scared me to death, Master. You're more than I can deal with. My excuse then, he throws out excuses, I was afraid I would lose your money. After all, you wouldn't want me to lose your money, would you? That's what he's saying here. So he hid in the earth. Look, here is your money back. But the master replied, you wicked and lazy servant. If you knew I harvested crops, I didn't plant and gather crops, I didn't cultivate, why didn't you deposit my money in the bank? At least I could have gotten some interest on it. At least a little bit could have been made. Then he ordered, take the money from this servant and give it to the one with the 10 bags of silver. To those who use well what they are given, even more will be given. And they will have an abundance. But from those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away. Now throw this useless servant into outer darkness, where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Strong warning not to waste what God has given us. He calls them useless. He calls them lazy. And they're punished. So the master gives 5 talents. It's his money. He gives it to the man. The master gives his 2 talents, is his money, to the man with 2 talents. And he gives his money to the man with 1 talent. We've all been given money. We're all given money. The Lord has given every single one of us a body, a mind, and abilities to make money. We all don't make the same amount of money. Some of us are 5 talent makers of money. Some of us are 2 talent makers of money. Some of us are 1 talent maker of money. But He's given us the ability to make money. The money that we earn, the money that we make, is a gift from God. And we are on a test mission here on this side of eternity about how we are going to handle what He has given us. Not only have we been given money, but at salvation, each and every one of us has been given a spiritual gift. At least 1 spiritual gift. You have been given the gift of teaching. You have been given the gift of leadership. You have been given the gift of showing mercy. You have been given the gift of helping other people. You have been given the gift of administration. And we are responsible to use the gift that we are given. We are also given a heart. In salvation, we are given Christ's heart. We are given His Spirit. And that Spirit begins to massage our heart, to build our heart, to give us things that we care about, that we are compassionate about. And we begin to love. And we have a heart. A heart that is moved by certain needs that there are around us. That's God-given. I look back and there's Laura Place, and she's been given the heart of organization. And so look what happens with our donation fair that we've had 2 years in a row. She's using her heart and her spiritual gift, and look how the Lord is multiplying that. He gives us a spiritual gift. He gives us a heart. He also gives us abilities. Abilities. We're able to do certain things that other people are not able to do. And we are to use those abilities for Him. Some of us have 5 talent abilities. Some of us have 2 talent abilities. Some of us have 1 talent ability. It's not important what level of ability we have. What's important is, are we faithful to use in God's kingdom what we've been given? Some of us, all of us, not some of us, we've all been given a personality. God has wired each of us differently. We're not all the same. We're not all wired the same. Some of us are introverts. Some of us are extroverts. Some of us are sanguine. Some of us are melancholy. All those things. Some of us are lions and some of us are chipmunks. I forget the animal test. We're all different. We're wired different. And God uses our personality for His purpose. And we've all had experiences. And so if you take the spiritual gift, you take the heart, you take the ability, you take the personality, and you take our experiences, you'll discover that we're all shaped to serve. We're all shaped to invest in His kingdom. We're all shaped to take whatever talent we've been given and put it in the hands of the Lord and watch Him do whatever He wants to do with it. Kyle and Amy have done that in Cambodia. We are doing that in Portugal. We are doing that in Peru. We are doing that with Adventure Week. We are doing that here at home. We are doing that with all the ministries. We have ladies who are working with the ladies in ministry. They are taking how they're shaped and they're serving in accordance with how God has shaped them. So the key for us in this parable is this. Don't waste what God has given you. Are you faithful with your money? Now, when you look at our bulletin and you look at our newsletter, I suppose not our bulletin, but we'll soon, but you look in our newsletter, you discover that we're behind budget. You discover that probably we're not all being faithful with our money. Now, there's 2 things at work here. Either there's a budget correction going on that we're going to have to adjust our budget to take care of that. And we will do that. It's already taken place. Conversations are already going on. And probably, if things don't improve, not probably, certain, if things don't improve money-wise in the congregation, then there's going to be major adjustments made. Now, I know as well as you know that there's less people coming than there were. There's less money than there were. That's going on. There's no sense in hiding that truth. And we're going to make adjustments to meet that. I don't know how that's going to look. I don't know how that's going to work. However, if it's not a budget correction that needs to be made, and it's a correction of our giving, then certainly we should respond, because God has things that we need to accomplish. God has things He wants us to do. And so our faithfulness with His money is crucial in the Great Commission, in doing what we need to do. So, put yourself in this scripture. Which one of these guys are you? Are you a five-talent person that buried the five talents and only spent it on yourself? Are you a two-talent person that hasn't used the money as a good steward? Are you a one-talent person that has used it? You know, this thing could be flipped. However you fit, put yourself in a position, and can you celebrate with the Lord with your giving? Only you can answer that. Can you celebrate with the Lord your spiritual gift? Can you celebrate with the Lord your heart? What you're passionate about? Can you celebrate with the Lord with that? Or, you know, you're like the one talent guy, didn't do anything. Don't do anything. Can you celebrate with the Lord your abilities? Can you celebrate with the Lord your personality? Can you celebrate with the Lord your experiences? Or are you wasting your experiences? Now, the one talent guy, he did nothing. Everything is taken away. He's thrown into outer darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. I don't understand what weeping and gnashing of teeth is. I know I don't want any weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, does this mean that he was lost? Well, that's another conversation. It says that there is definite judgment on those of us that have been given from the Lord and we waste it. We waste it. That's a strong warning for us. But on the other hand, to the five-talent guy and the two-talent guy, there is celebration. And life is to be celebrated. And when we are doing what God has called us to do, we have reason to celebrate with Him. It's in His sweet spot that we live and serve. Kyle and Amy, you're in their sweet spot. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Laura's in her sweet spot. Isn't that a beautiful thing? She's going to kill me today. I see her back there. I see Louisiana fumes coming on up. Philip, when he leads us in worship, he's in his sweet spot, isn't he? Many of you are in your sweet spot. Obviously, Chuck and Kimberly are in their sweet spot. The Lord put Chuck in Mercy Ships, a sweet spot. He talks about it. What happens? Just energy. Just energy. George Pittman. The last many years that we got to spend with him, his sweet spot was the center of hope. I never had a conversation with George Pittman the last 5-10 years that we got to know him, that the center of hope wasn't part of the conversation. His sweet spot. The purpose. Now, if you don't go and watch the ordination service today, hopefully you either watch Talladega, or if you get to watch the Rangers, watch the Rangers. That would be my choice, but I'm going to go watch the ordination deal. Talladega will be wild. Just watch the last 5 minutes of it. You see all the wreck you want to see. On that baseball bat, all those major leaguers are going to use, you got the handle, and you got the knob at the bottom by the handle, and you've got the top of the bat, right? There is a barrel on that bat. They're made differently. It depends on how the guy swings, depends on what he likes, and all this kind of thing. The handles are different thicknesses, and the barrel is a little different shape. Some barrel up earlier, some don't. But anyway, on that bat is like if you had a 32 length bat or so, or 33 or something, there's probably a sweet spot of about that far, maybe. Maybe a little more. Not much. And what makes the difference between a Major League Baseball player and a AAA or AA or no A is, can he put the barrel of the bat on the ball? That's the difference. If he gets it up on a handle, he's liable to pop it up or ground it down. It's going to be a weaker deal. But if he can get it in that sweet spot over and over and over, if he can hit a curveball or slider, or if he's got the patience to be able to see the difference between, the patience to see that change up, or if he's got the eyesight to be able to see the difference between a four-seam fastball and a two-seam fastball, which Lee Brewer never had that ability. And if he can put the barrel on the ball consistently, that's what makes the difference. It's that sweet spot. In the Christian life, there's a sweet spot. When we're faithful with what God has given us, we get to have the celebration. It makes life really extra good. I hope you're like Frank. You've learned that the market can turn upside down and you're oblivious to it. Because he learned to live beyond money. Father, I pray that you'll guide and lead us, and may we just be faithful to what you've called us to. In Jesus' name, amen. Ushers, come forward.